Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the tree right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Alice knows what you think I've seen. Some strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and we're talking moccasin joke. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's Wall.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descarty. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Descarty. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Outstanding! Oh, my God, do we got a chock full of nuts here with us tonight. Unbelievable. We got him from Maine to Spain. We got him east to west, north to south. We got him around the globe, ladies and gentlemen, and they're here tonight. Good share of them, anyhow. We got a hell of a show for you. But, you know, I got to tell you a story real quick because I don't have much time to bullshit tonight. We had a guy, Italian guy, from the restaurant called Bella Mia, which is could mean dream in Sicilian or my beautiful one. And Alessio and his partner, Leonardo, okay? And we had an orgasmic meal, a gourmet to make a gourmand go out of his mind at his restaurant, okay? And we had 13 or 17, I don't remember how many it was, Rocky, that people called in, wrote in, texted in, every other damn thing in. Is he going to come back on the show? We had some questions for him, yada, yada, yada. So we're going to start off with him. Then we're going to continue on with Kevin and Robin's story, which we cut off. And then our brother Bruce up in Montana is going to talk about that big China balloon that started coming our way on Tuesday, and it went right over his house. And then we got a new guy, Rick. Unbelievable. He's going to tell you about a story that for the last, I don't know, couple of years, 3 years, maybe longer, of the Northeast Washington, out on his land has been feeding, and he's photographed at least 3 to 6, it's a family of them, up in his area. Then from there, we're going to go back and talk to Chip in Ohio. He's going to tell us what's going on. And then at the end of the show, we're going to rock your world. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, rock your world, because my world was rocked 2 days ago, and it's by Chris, our good buddy, all right? He sent me a video, opened my eyes. As you know, those of you who know me well, I don't get too much in the shit that's going on in their own country because they don't care. There's nothing I can change. You know, I did vote, and then what happened? My vote didn't care because my guy didn't win. So, okay, great. Now I'm listening to all this other garbage that's going on. But this is going to make you're going to wig out after Chris gets a hold of you tonight. And a lot of you people, I understand, already knew this, and I didn't. It goes to show you how stupid naivete it is for me. Without any further ado, we're going to Santa Cruz, California, ladies and gentlemen, and our newfound friend, Alessio. Are you out there?
Yeah, hi, how are you? How are you doing, man? I'm here.
Hey!
I'm here listening.
It's good to hear you, brother. It's good to hear a fellow paisan. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the guy I told you about, him and his partner, Leonardo, has a beautiful gourmet restaurant where your taste buds will be awakened. I don't care if you come from northern Italy, southern Italy, eastern Italy, western Italy. You go to his restaurant, and he's going to have a little bit of everything for you. So what happened,
yep.
We talked about his menu, we talked about the foods I ate, we talked about the friendliness and the kindness of this gentleman and his partner and his employees. And then
you're
welcome, it's the truth. If you were no good, I tell you were no good too. So at the same point in time, ladies and gentlemen, he was telling us about recipes and what have you. And people started to get ticked off. So my co-host, Rocky, calls me and says, hey, boss. He says, no, he said, chief. I said, what? He says, when he calls me chief, that means it's important, you know? So I said, what's up? I'm all ears. He says, man, we've been getting these texts. We've been getting these emails. We've been getting people calling me. And they want to know, is this Italian guy coming back on? They got questions for him. So without any further ado, I got holy hell from one guy. He's been calling every day and saying, hey, I got questions for Alessio. And it's our guy, Chris. So Chris, by the way, well, wait a minute. Chris has a good friend of him who goes crabbing out of Santa Cruz. Chris, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, you and Alessio have the floor. So go ahead and ask away the questions you had for him.
Alessio, welcome.
Hi.
Good.
How are you?
What's the restaurant? Where you're at? What's your location?
Well, the restaurant is is situated in Water Street in Santa Cruz at 736 Water Street. And it's pretty neat. We got it. It was pretty damaged. And we put a lot of love and lots of hours of work. And a few friends helping us, too. So, yeah, 736 Water Street, Santa Cruz.
When I get a chance to get up there, I'm going to go and stop by and have dinner. I'm going to bring my family in. You know, I got friends that, you know, they're family that work out of Santa Cruz, and they're close ties with the Stagneros out there on the pier. And
oh, great.
And, you know, we know the owners of Gilda's. And so
yeah.
Whenever there's a restaurant that I haven't been to, especially Italiano, I'm like, I got to go. So, you know, one of the questions I know from listening to the last when you were on, you were raised in Italy, right? What part were you from?
I'm from Santa Margherita Ligure, which is the city before Portofino in the Italian Riviera, outside of Genova.
I can't wait. I'm going to go there someday. I really want to go out to Amalfi and Poisedano. One of these days, I want to bring my wife out there just to take a little vacation. It just looks amazing. One of the things I wanted to ask, you know, when you came over from the old country over here and, you know, started working, I know that they say that, you know, the Italians in San Francisco were the ones that invented Schiappino. What did you do the first time you tried Schiappino?
When was it, the first time I tried Schiappino?
No, what did you think when you first time you tried Schiappino?
Oh, yeah. I love seafood, and that, I mean, that's where I'm from. And Schiappino originally, I believe, is actually from Genova. And I love Schiappino. It is made with like a little better kind of fish. So it's all clean, and you don't find like a deep water fish. But Schiappino is great. I love it. It's very good.
Do you think Schiappino, like he asked, originated from San Francisco, or was it from Genoa?
Oh, no. All I know is from Genoa, but then the immigrants, they did it here too.
Okay, so the ones that came from there brought it here to San Francisco.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Exactly.
Yeah, I wanted to clear that just because I want to get the real history. You know, I got friends, you know, really deep Italian families, and very proud of, you know, the way they cook. And I watched, you know, just the amount of work and the love that goes into the cuisine. Just my friends when they're making the meat sauce for their raviolis. I mean, they would boil beef ribs and a rack of pork ribs for 24 hours just to make the sauce. And I'm telling you, when you take even a spoonful, it's like a whole cow condensed into each spoonful. I mean, that's the kind of puts me to sleep. You know, I fall asleep halfway through dinner. I'm in a food coma. And that's a play.
I you guys the story when we were there. He brought out seven. He made seven containers of the bolognese sauce, and oh my God, it was unbelievable. How long did that take to braise and cook?
All day. We do it from morning to night. From that, when you saw it that night, we were just pour inside the containers.
Wow,
and take about 8 hours.
Eight hours.
It's not even that a problem because you're there all day, so you just stir it. Each of us that passed by the stove, we stir it, and we say, "Hey, did you stir the bolognese?" And I said, "Yes, I did." And so it's actually also funny to work with each other. So
that's good when you have a good team that work with you, and I totally agree. Now, is there any other questions from you, Chris? Because I got two other guys that want to ask questions real quick.
Oh, I just wanted to ask that question, and it's a pleasure to meet you.
Grazie, thank you.
Okay, fantastic. Let's move on now. Let's go to Arkansas, where Robert Holmberg, the, a.k.a. the Swede's, got a couple of questions for you. Here it comes. Swede, you with us?
Yes,
Rocky, I am. I am now.
There we go.
You okay?
Yeah, I've been dying for the question since last week when we got, or the week before last when we got cut off, and I wanted to say, I wanted to talk about the calamari.
Mm-hmm.
You do the calamari. You use the locals from catching the Humboldt's.
We use it Monterey calamari, and we actually before we were speaking with the. Chris and he was saying that he knows the Stagnaro family. That's where we actually get our fish every day from Stagnaro in Santa Cruz. That's where we get it. And we use the Monterey calamari
off the pier, right off the water. That's fantastic.
Yes,
I can almost imagine it. I'm trying to keep myself from going into an imaginary food coma.
Oh my God.
Well, here's the thing.
I love.
Yeah, Sweet, if I can just jump in real quick, because I had it. I ordered it, okay? And I told the girl, I says, listen, I don't want it burnt. I don't want it like rubber, but I wanted that I can taste the fish. And, oh, my God, every morsel that they brought out, no, they bread it their own way and they fry it their own way. But when you chew it, you know, it wasn't a rock. It wasn't a piece of rubber. You could taste the morsel of the fish. And that
Man,
was
that's fantastic. That's fantastic. I just, you know, some many places, you know, I'm not trying to. I don't even want to say the franchise that serves it up, but it's no good.
No. No, it's the truth. And so let me ask you something. Who taught you, Alessio, how to make squid the way you do?
Who taught me to do the way that I do?
Yes.
Yeah, basically my whole family. My grandma, my mom, my dad, we all, me and my brother and my sister, we basically were born in a family. My father was a pastry chef, and then he became on the road a butcher. My grandfather a butcher, my grandma a chef, and my mom a chef. So that's, I mean, in the morning you wake up on Sundays, on the holidays, hey, vieni qua, grata formaggio, grated cheese, while they were doing the gnocchis. And it was just a pleasure to me to learn. And that's how my passion came out, and I wanted to do it as a job. And then now I have a restaurant, and I'm doing things that my grandma and my mom are used to do and doing. And they, Leo the same. Leo with his mom and his grandmother, too. We always talk about our families, how we learned this, how we learned that. And then sometimes we feel like we are like back in the movie, The Goodfellas, when they cook in the prison. All the friends and stuff. It's just funny because he's Sicilian, so and it's the. I mean, we cook all day basically, and it's fun to talk about stuff, how we learned this, how we learned that, and little family stories. Anyway,
here's a question that just came in. I'm reading it right now. Can you please ask Alessio on the movie that he just talked about? He says in the prison. He says one guy was cutting the garlic with a razor blade. Is that true?
No, I don't do that.
But you know the scene he's talking about.
Yes. That's a classic. I love that movie. It's so fun.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Any other guys want the other? I promised Sweden, I promised Chris that we'd get him back on. We got him on. And all you other people, I got a chock full of show going on here tonight. If you want to mute yourself out, Alessio, you're going to learn something about our ex-president coming up here and about some good stories coming up between New York, Montana, Ohio, and it just doesn't stop. You might want to give it a few minutes, okay?
Yeah, of course. What do I do? Just don't speak or just what do I do? Just listen?
He'll Rocky, tell him what to do.
All right. Okay. Sounds good. Okay. So, Tom, it's so nice to be back. Thank you for the time.
I'm going to be going away for a while, but when I come back, I'm going to get a table of 6 or 8. We're going to come up and see you. I'll call you the day before, and we'll come and dine three, four hours, okay?
Of course. Please do.
Okay, brother.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Alessio from Benda Mio.
Thank you, Alessio.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right.
Thank you.
Just sit back and listen.
Yeah, just sit back and listen, Alessio. All right?
All right. Sounds good. Ciao.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going back out to New York and finish up with Robin and Kevin right now. Robin, Kevin, you out there?
We are.
How you guys doing?
I'm doing okay. Just trying to, you know, take care of Kevin. I didn't know if anybody, you know, needed our mailing address. We're trying to raise a little money for Kevin because he's having a very serious surgery to have the cancer removed from his prostate. So,
I brought that up. So why don't you, at this point in time, give everybody the address, and we'll expand on that after you finish telling us the story.
Sure.
What happened about all those footprints.
Okay. So you want the address now?
Yeah, let's get that over with. Go ahead. Give everybody
okay.
that.
Okay. First, it's going to come under Kevin and Robin Morgan. And the address is 1517 Dam Road.
Spell
your
it.
Rider. It's
wait, spell it.
D-A-M-R-D.
Okay.
And then your rider is D-E-R-U-Y-T-E-R, New York. And the zip is 13052.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, let me give it to you real quickly, okay? It's Kevin and Robin Morgan, M-O-R-G-A-N, and it's 1517 Dam Road, D-A-M Road, DeRuyter, New York, D-E-R-U-Y-T-E-R. Zip is 13052. Whatever you guys can spare, if you can, it'd be much appreciated. He's going to go under the knife next month, and they're a little strapped, just like everybody else in this world, and they've tapped into everything they could, what the government has to offer and everything, so now it's on their own. So if we can do anything, I'm sure as hell going to send something, and I'm sure my co-host and the rest of our cronies will be on there. We'll be out
that
there.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
Okay? All right, so now
yeah,
go tell us the story. Tell us the story.
Okay, when we lived in PA, we did find many, many footprints. Because we moved here, it's really neat because since we left PA, we have Bigfoot right out in our backyard in the backwoods. And we have gotten some footprints. It's dry out there in the woods, so I'm hoping that we find some other footprints this coming, you know, maybe April or May, that we can cast. But we did find some nice set of footprints. But again, it's just very dry out in the woods. It's very hard to get a print, but we did get, you know, as many photographs as we could.
And that's it. You there?
I'm here.
Okay. Some of the tracks we've seen only had three toes.
Really?
Only three. We sent a picture to you. I hope you got it, but it shows three toes on it.
And then the others are regular footprints.
Yeah. We can't hear you. You're gonna have to talk up louder.
Some of the footprints that we got that were right out here by the house look like from a young juvenile. It was a really light casting of a footprint where we had our arch and had the hummingbird feeder hung up, and they unscrewed it, drank the water, the sugar water, and then set it on the ground, and then put our butterfly ornament on the very top of the arch that Kevin has out there. And in the ash-type gravel was looked to be like a small juvenile footprint.
Wow.
We've been hearing vocalizations.
Whistles?
Each night during the summer. There's a few times that they were quiet for a week or two, but we've been hearing vocalizations, whistles. We did hear at least one knock. There was one time it sounded like a possible juvenile was doing the exact same call as the adults, but it was a whole lot higher pitched like a young one would make. We didn't have any way of copying them down or recording them. We tried, but it didn't come out.
But they sure do like red and blue beads, turkey feathers, apples, and they love peanut butter.
Yeah, we know that as a fact, don't we?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We would hang soda cans in the tree that are way over our heads with peanut butter on them, and we'd go back to check them later. Once one of the cans was on the ground, and the other times they were lit clean from where they were. And like Robin just said, we started trying to see if they would play or move items. We started out with shells, and we arranged them on a log in a straight line, and they were mix and matched. Like
in a zigzag pattern.
They were still there, but they were moved.
Yep.
We started putting beads out there.
And they took every single
bead. All the time, they would take all the beads. Sometimes we put beads inside the shells, and they would take the bead out of the shell and leave the shell there. Robin had the idea of gluing the beads to a ribbon. And what they would do is take the beads off the ribbon, crinkle up the ribbon, and throw it on the ground next to the log. And it's been fun.
Yep.
Well, I'm glad to see that you're enjoying what you're doing and you're dedicated to what you're doing, which means an awful lot. And just for one more time, if you would, Robin, give everybody
yes.
the address again, please.
Okay. It's Kevin, K-E-V-I-N, Morgan, M-O-R-G-A-N, 1517, D-A-M-R-D. The writer is D-E-R-U-Y-T-E-R, New York, 13052.
Listen, guys, I want to thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. Our prayers will continue to go out to you.
Thank you.
And your family.
Thank you.
And I hope that everybody out there has heard you, had their ears on, and can find it in their heart, even, you know, if it's a few dollars, just to send your way to help you guys along. Like I told you, me and my boys will be there, and you'll see something in the mail real soon. Ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Love you guys.
I want you to hear what's coming up. So just put yourself out. There's a lot more show coming. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Robin and Kevin, great people. And if you find it in your heart and you can send a few dollars, I'd appreciate it. I know they will. They're great, great, super people. Now we're going out to the other side, 3,000 miles away. We're going up to Browning, Montana. I'm going to talk to my brother from another mother, Bruce Schilt. Bruce, are you out there?
Yeah, I'm here, Tom.
Good evening, brother. How are you?
Oh, like a dead dog I can't kick. I'm doing good.
I understand you got a hell of a storm up there.
Yeah, we did. It came in and snowed on everything, and then it went away, and then it came back. Just don't know. You can't figure it out, you know, whether it's going to stick around or leave, you know.
How cold is it?
Oh, it's nice and warm. I think it's what? I think it's just a shade below freezing. 31 or something like that.
Oh, hell, you better go get your Speedo on and go swimming.
Yes. Yeah.
So what's happening with the howling and stuff around your neighborhood, around your ranch?
You know, we heard that Bigfoot, we seen his tracks, and we heard him a couple nights, but he quit howling. I haven't heard him, you know, hollering for a couple, since last Wednesday, I guess, since last time I talked to you. So I don't know what's going on. I know our dogs go over the hill and come back bloody and limp, and I don't know what they're fighting. I don't think it's a Bigfoot, because they'd have been ripped apart, you know. But We haven't heard nothing lately, but I'm sure he's still around here. I mean, you know, he lives around here, so he's around here. I mean,
yeah, you're going to like the story that you're going to hear from Rick up there in not too far from you, in northeastern Washington. Tell everybody, when we were on the phone last Saturday, I think it was, while we were on the phone, what flew over your house?
Oh, we were shooting a bull on the phone, and that big old balloon flew over the house, and it stopped about 250 miles from the house. It was just sitting there over Malmstrom Air Force Base. It sat there for a while. But, you know, I don't know. What can you do? Just say, hey, look at that balloon? You know, that's about all.
You know, there were reports after I checked into that and found out that some of the people from the Reds were taking out their rifles and trying to shoot the damn thing.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, Bruce, stay on because I want you to hear that Rick is coming on next right now.
All right.
He tells a hell of a story, and I want you guys to all meet him. And just listen in.
Rick has not called in.
Well, did you call him?
No, I haven't had a chance to.
Okay. So why don't you put his Chip in?
No, sir.
Okay. So while I'm on the phone with Chris, why don't you call Rick?
Okay.
All right?
I can do that.
Fantastic. All right, buddy. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, while he's trying to get those people, maybe they got some kind of problems trying to get in, but Chris, you out there?
Yes, sir.
Well, what do you think of what's going on here so far tonight? Pretty incredible, huh?
Yeah. I just wanted to say a quick shout-out to Robin and your better half. If you're still listening, try when you can go online, look up PSK, turkey tail mushroom extract, in conjunction with chemotherapy. They have a 70% full remission rate in Japan. It's a mainstay. It's called homeopathic here, but in Japan they actually use the turkey tail mushroom extract all the time, and they have 70% full remission, whereas the United States is more like 3% full remission without it. So just wanted to put that out there. Best of wishes. And, you know, with the stuff with the balloon, my God, I'd like to know which Air Force base that was over. China is—they're lying. They're trying to say, "Oh, it was an accident." There's already a second balloon right now, as we speak, flying over our country. This is not an accident. You don't do that twice. I mean, and it's a good thing nobody shot the thing down while it was over our country. Always remember to do the wet finger test and find out which way the wind is blowing, because if that thing was full of anthrax spores, those spores can lay dormant for, you know, decades, and just putting that out there. Meanwhile, cup of Joe for all you patriots out there. I remember about a year ago, people were saying there was rumors that Michelle Obama was a man, and I thought, well, I didn't want to believe it. I was in denial, but I belong to a WikiLeaks kind of an information leak thing, and you know, like an InfoWar, and they showed Barack, our former president. He's not my former president, but they show that guy hanging on to this other guy, and the facial features are exactly that of Michelle Obama without the long hair. She's got the heavy brow ridge, the Adam's apple, the same teeth. It's a carbon copy, and I started looking into it further. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm talking like I was shocked. I was was shocked right out of my shoes. I mean, they show these videos of her coming down the stairs, and you can see a third leg. She tries to cover it, bouncing up and down as she's coming down the stairs. They show her on, I think, at the Ellen show where they were dancing, like doing gymnastics. And again, you can see that thing bouncing around in there. And I'm going, oh, my God. So this is why we're trying to push. And even Joan Rivers, she comes out and they interviewed her about it. And they said, no, you know that everybody in Hollywood knows that is the transgender man. And I was thinking, oh, my God. So this is why our children are being polluted in preschool with all this gender. I mean, Tom, when we were growing up, what were we thinking when we were in preschool? We were playing with Legos, you know, Spider-Man, Batman and Robin. There wasn't any of that weird stuff going on, was there?
Right on, brother, right on.
I don't know, Tom? We're heading with all this stuff, but really it feels like, you know, this Agenda 21 is actually a depopulization agenda. I mean, they already...
Hold on. Rocky?
Yes, Rick has called in.
Is Rick on?
Yes.
Okay. Chris, you hold on. We'll catch up with you. Listen in. All right, Rick, you on?
Okay. Yes.
What happened to you, son?
Hey, you told me to call in at 8 o'clock.
No, I never told you that.
That's what you text me.
Well, if I text you, I was wrong, and I'm sorry. So now you're on, so yeah. I don't have to. We can go back to square one. Ladies and gentlemen, we got Rick on the phone. Talked to you about him tonight earlier. He's out there in Ohio. He's been having all kinds of he's taking pictures.
Washington State.
Oh, that's right. That's Chip. I'm sorry. Yeah, this is. Forgive me. I go through so many people a day. I forget what my name is. He's up there in northeastern. Okay, Washington State. Why don't you tell everybody about the pictures that you've taken, how many of these creatures you've been feeding, and how many you think there are on your property?
Well, I took some pictures during hunting season last year, and I got five of them, but I was within 20 feet from them, and there was no smell. My son and his friend, the three of us were there at a big tree structure, and I just took some pictures of the woods around the tree structure, and there was five of them standing right there, 20 feet from it. But I have the picture, and the faces are green on them. So I don't know what to say about that. And my brother's property, I know there's got to be at least four or five living on his property, and because there's tree structures on that place. And the other place where I took the picture, it was just down the road from there. So I don't know what to say about that, you know.
Okay, so have you been feeding them or what?
Yeah, every year I go over there hunting, and I feed them. Well, I've been over there for the last 15 years, and I feed them, and I put up five apples in the tree about 12 feet high, and two of the apples had worms in them. And when I came back the next day, and all the three apples that were eaten off the tree and the other two were laying on the ground, and I picked them up, and the horses were right there. The horses wouldn't even eat the apples. It's like, I don't know, they were afraid to eat the apples or something, because usually they eat the apples. But there was two worms in them, and I think they were mad at me because I had worms in the apples that I put up in the tree for them. That's the only thing I could think of, you know. And they've left me last year. I put up apples on a different day, and they left a circle about 3 feet around, 2.5 feet around, of deer hair stuck in hard pan ground about 3 inches wide, a perfect circle. And they did it in the middle of the night. And I put the apples up right before dark, and I came back the next morning, and we're looking for the apples, didn't see them. My son noticed the circle on the ground with the deer hair. I couldn't believe it. It was stuck in there about an inch in the ground, the deer hair. And I couldn't even push my finger in the ground. It was so hard.
Wow.
You know,
let me ask you this. Were you ever afraid all the times you've been out there?
Yeah. usually I go by myself, but sometimes, you know, I'll go in the deep dark woods there, and the hair would just crawl on my neck. And, you know, I do believe that, you know, they can turn their smell on and off. Because it's like I would, when they want me to leave, they you know, it smells like rotten or dead, rotten urine, you know, just a terrible smell. They throw the sin at me, and then it goes away, and then, you know, and I'll stand there, and then I'll come back, and it's like they want me to leave, so that's when I leave. Otherwise, you know, I've been around them, and I've had them, you know, four of them within, I don't know, 15 feet of me one night, moonlit night, and I was hunting raccoons with my dogs, my dogs are on a track. I sat down on a log because I wanted to listen to which way they're going before I started following them in the woods, and they went quiet. And then all of a sudden, I heard this talking. About a block away, I heard this talking, and then within probably 45 seconds, they were right in front of me, four of them, and there were two 12-footers, the branch broke behind me, and I looked back. My dogs were laying behind me, all curled up, scared to death. And there were three of them were walking. The kid, he ran by fast. And the three of them were walking, two males and a female. And they were all in line talking to each other. And when they got directly in front of me, about 15 feet from me, the biggest one on the outside closest to me stopped, raised his head up, took a big sniff. His nostrils flared up about 2 inches around. And then he just looked right at me. And I thought, oh, man, I'm going to die right now. And I had my rifle laid across my lap. And he looked about 45 years old. Because they got human faces and flat teeth. And the guy in the middle, he looked like he was about 75. And the guy reached down and looking at me, and he's kind of growling at me but not making any sound, just showing his teeth. And the old man, he pulled him by the shoulder, pulled him back up, whispered something in his ear. And the female, she just stood there looking. And then they all just went directly in the woods, and they were gone. Not even made a sound.
You were pretty close then, weren't you?
Yeah, I was probably 6 feet when he leaned into me.
So when he leaned in,
yeah, it was a moonlit night. You could see for a block, you know, and they were walking in the shellal brush, and the shellal was up to almost, I'm 6 foot tall, and it was up to the middle of my chest, the shellal, and I could just barely see over it when I was sitting on the log. And as they were walking, what really got me was I was looking at their kneecaps. That's how tall they were. I was watching their kneecaps. I could not believe it because I'm thinking, man, the shellal's up to my chest, and I'm looking at their kneecaps walking through the woods. And it was just like they were walking on grass. You know what I mean? It was just crazy.
Wow.
And,
Hold on just a second.
I got the scariest night of my entire life.
Yeah, the Beard of Knowledge has a question for you. Swede, you out there?
I am.
You got a question there for our friend Rick?
Oh, I was just thinking 15 feet is pretty close, my friend. That's pretty close.
Well, I thought I was going to die. I got the drop on them. They didn't even know I was there. Because
wow.
I was sitting on that log, and my head was just peeking out over the shellal brush. So they really couldn't tell that I was there until they got directly right in front of me. And that's when they stopped, was directly right in front of me. And the one took a big step towards me and leaned into me. And to me, it looked like it was about 4 feet from my face. Like he could have reached there and grabbed me. That's what I thought he was going to do, is grab me. But I had my hand on the gun.
When you were saying that they were in single file there and they were talking, what was the lingo like?
You know, just like that, like
right?
The Sierra sound.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Like the
uh-huh.
Sierra sound. And that's what freaked me out when I heard the Sierra sounds. That's what, you know, it's like, whoa. You know, it was exactly like the Sierra sounds.
I'm just going to ask you really quick. I don't even know if you've paid any attention, but like the human, we always speak on the exhale, and there's been some the Sierra sounds on the research. They say that the Bigfoot talks on the exhale and the inhale, which we can't do. We can't speak to the inhale. We can't make any noise. That's how they talk that gibberish so fast, is because they can inhale and exhale and vocalize at the same time. Did you have any indication of that? Did you hear it?
Well, yeah.
If you were 15 feet from them.
Well, the deal was that all three of them were talking to each other when they walked up to me.
Wow.
All three of them were having a conversation. The woman was talking to the males. The males were, you know, it was like they were in this big conversation. And then when it got directly in front of me, that one stopped, took a big sniff, and looked right at me, just turned his head and looked right at me. And I thought, oh, man, you know.
Wow.
And I'm just sitting there with my rifle, and I thought I was going to die, especially when he leaned into me. You know, I didn't move my gun, but, you know, it's like I didn't want to provoke him, you know.
Right.
And they were at least, I'd say, 11 to 12 feet tall, the two males.
Man, that's a big
critter. The female's about 8 foot tall.
Wow.
You know, Chris is beeping into me, and he says, Tom, let me talk to him. I got a couple of questions for Rick. Chris, you there?
Hey. Rick, how you doing?
You're
in Washington, right?
Yes.
What part are you? I know you're in the north towards the Canadian border, but are you more towards the coast or are you eastern?
Well, I go back and forth. I got a place on the coast and I got a place in the eastern Washington up on by Molson. Molson is right on the Canadian border above Wenatchee, you know, above Wenatchee, right in the middle of the state.
Okay, so the family that you're talking about, where are they more towards the coast or are they more eastern? That this is going on right now, like this is happening right now, pretty much, right?
Yeah, well, eastern Washington is where I was at when I took the pictures, and
uh-huh.
I used to hunt over on the peninsula, and I had a house on the peninsula. And that's where I ran into the four Bigfoot then. But over
Blue Mountains?
No, it's up. It's further than that. It's in the Okanagan.
Oh, okay. That was the only reason I was
asking.
My property.
Go ahead.
The only reason I was asking is because, you know, if this stuff is happening right now, I just want to know, are they active? I just want to know if there's some kind of migrational pattern that you can, you know, that you've kind of identified with. I've always thought that the farther north you go, that, you know, they would be closer to the coast in the winter because it's warmer at the coast usually further eastern in the mountain ranges. But I don't know if that even matters to them, you know. And then the other
question is,
is there a water source close by to the area where you're having all this happen?
Yeah, there's water. There's water all over, right? Where both places are happening, I don't believe, you know, over in eastern Washington, it snows over there, and the deer go like. My place is at 4,200 feet, and that's where they're usually at. But when it snows, all the deer go down in the valley down to 600 feet, and the Bigfoot I know go down and follow the deer, you know, because I can't find any tracks in the wintertime.
Kind of stay right at the snow line, right where the snow line changes to not snow, kind of, you know, because up here where I'm at in the Southern Sierras, we get a lot of this activity right at the snow line. It's like they use the snow to do a lot of their tracking, and the deer will come right at the, they'll come down below, just below the snow line. So I just
exactly.
wanted to notice any of that.
Exactly. Exactly. And on the coast, over on the coast, it don't snow. It don't snow where I'm at right now. And I'll tell you, last February, I have a friend of mine that lives right off of I-5 north of Everett, and about 10 miles north of Everett. And he lives right next to the railroad tracks. And on the other side of the railroad tracks is a Costco store. And he had his chickens getting stolen. And I sent Tom the picture of the track that he took behind his chicken house. And this is right next door to Costco. It's a 15.5-inch track in the mud, and he lost over 20 chickens from, you know, where the Bigfoot was going in his chicken house, taking his chickens every night, taking his chickens every night.
Rick, hold, let me stop you for a second. Chris, too. I'm getting some emails right now, and they says, hey, Tom, can you have that? Ask Rick, does he know about the Obama situation with his wife being a guy? Well, they don't know about
yeah, absolutely.
You and I had. Why don't you tell him?
Well, yeah, you mean Michael? He's got a picture of Michael when they were in college. They're best friends, and they're hugging and kissing each other. You know, that's just posted the other day. I told my wife that 5 years ago. You know, so I don't know what to say about that, you know.
I must have been under a rock, to be honest with you, because I didn't know any of this crap was going, you know? It blew me away. And then when I started checking in on this, oh, my God, I was shocked.
So was my wife. She didn't believe me. She didn't believe me till I showed her about 4 days ago the picture of him.
Okay, Tom?
Yeah.
Tom, I'm back. I couldn't get hold of Chip.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. We only got 8 minutes, and the thing, my board is lighting up like crazy about this Obama-Michelle thing. They want to know, who are the kids? Did they?
They're rented.
Huh?
They're rented.
Rent-a-kids,
yeah, no kidding. You know, he wasn't born in America. You know, he's Muslim. He hates Americans. You know, that's the truth.
I can't believe
you know?
A man with a man turned to a
Well, you know, but he's on the Ellen G. DeGeneres show. He was dancing. And you can see he had pants on, and you can see him sloshing around dancing in his pants. And I can't remember the comedian, the lady, you know, she
Joan
brought
Rivers.
Up
Joan
brought
Rivers.
Up, yeah, Joan Rivers. She brought it up, and the next day she was dead.
Oh, my God.
She was walking into her house, and the news reporter asked her about Michelle Obama, and she said, everybody knows he's a guy. And the next day, she was dead.
You know, I've got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't know any of this crap. I must have been under a rock until I went through Chris, and then after I talked to Rick, and I'm thinking to myself, where have I been? So I started to research this stuff, and it's all over the Internet. I'm seeing these pictures of Michelle Obama as a guy, as a young guy when they were together. And then,
yeah.
You know, I'm saying, well, who has the largest Adam's apple here? It looked like she did. You know? Sorry, I'm just letting you know what my observation was. And now that I'm hearing about...
Apple is in her pants.
What?
Her Adam's apple is in her pants.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, and that's what
Joan Rivers said, you know, when she was dancing, or he was dancing on the Ellen DeGeneres show. And, you know, and then she would come up dead, you know.
So here's the thing that blew me away.
And her daughter doesn't want to say a word.
Yeah, right, right. So here's the thing that really blew me away. I started investigating on this stuff today, and I'm thinking to myself, how come we haven't heard from her or him in a long time? Why?
She's scared. She's scared.
And by the
way,
do you know how much they're worth since he became a president and he's exited as a president?
I think he's a billionaire.
Well, no, that it's the latest was back in 18. It was $300 million. That was his net worth. So he went from.
Yeah, well.
It's a lot of money. A lot
well,
of money.
George Soros funded him, you know.
Oh, is that true?
I think.
True.
Yeah,
George That's
Soros.
True.
George Soros funded him. That's how he became
That's
president.
True.
He's the one that paid Hillary Clinton off.
That's true.
And that's a whole nother story. You know, I got into the Clintons and I got into the Obamas, and then Epstein's name pops up somewhere.
Oh yeah. Hey. Uh-huh. And you know, it's like the Clintons, man, they've killed a lot of people. They've killed
yeah.
a lot
yeah.
of people.
They call it Arkansas.
Yeah, they
side. Arkansas.
Yeah, in Arkansas.
It's Arkansas. Hey,
the Rose Law Firm, and you know, what's his name? The guy that was running the Rose Law Firm, he was going to testify about on Hillary, and he ended up dead in the park in Washington D.C. the day he was going to testify.
You know what? I want to. You know, Robin.
When I get my Dawn back, Hillary will be in jail.
Yeah, there you go. Robin, are you still on?
She's in watching the news, but I'm on.
What do you think of this, Kevin?
It's really crazy. It's really crazy. I never suspected it until my sister brought it up, and now I'm hearing it from you guys, so.
I believe it now.
It's hard to take.
You know what, Robin? I was in shock myself. I guess I must have been in denial if I heard it before. But after hearing it from Chris and Rick and the Beard of Knowledge, I said to myself, where in the hell have I been?
And same for me. Where have I been? Because I never heard about it neither.
Yeah. My sister brought it up maybe 1 or 2 weeks ago.
And I didn't believe her. I was like, what? Are
I've
you
known,
serious?
I've known it for about 5 years.
Wow.
I've known about it for about 5 years.
Yeah,
wow. I didn't know that.
Well, wait a minute. I'm going to see if Chris. Chris?
Yes, sir.
Can you let everybody know how to get that video that you sent me?
I believe it's on Infowars.com. I'll send you the link again, and you know I get this stuff. It's Infowars.com. It's kind of a leak, you know, but it's public information. All you have to do is wiki it and just scroll down, and you'll see stuff keep popping up. I mean, you'll even see the birth certificate where Michael. You know, Robinson changes his name to Michelle. There's a lot. The more you dig, the more you find, and the more you're going to be shocked out of your shoelaces.
Wow.
Now he's not my president. The Pope won't even shake his hand. That says something.
He might catch something.
By the way,
exactly.
Do the kids know?
The kids?
I hope so. I mean, poor guys. They're innocent, those poor kids, and it's got to be hard on them. All I can say is it's got to be hard on those poor kids.
Wow, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just looking here.
They're getting a lot of money. They're getting
you bet
a lot
they are.
Of money.
The little thing on the clock, the hand's going tick, tick, tick. My God, we got just a few seconds, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank Alessio, Robin, Kevin, Bruce, Rick. Sorry you didn't make it, Chip. Chris, Swede, Rocky, of course. And, oh, my God, ladies and gentlemen, if you can find it in your heart, send a few dollars over there to our good friends, Robin and Kevin. Till next time, America, kudos, over and out.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for calling in.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you for inviting us.
Get a recording.
Good to hear from you, Bruce.
Yeah, good night. God bless.
Night.
Good night, Bruce. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night,
Bruce. Nice talking to you all.
And you too.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, facing mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. Put them together, reason for the facts.